Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
Almost exactly 14 years ago, shortly after midnight on October 7th, a young college student accepted a ride from two men his age. They drove him out to a remote location where they robbed him, beat him savagely, tied him to a fence, and left him to die. He was still alive but in a coma when he was discovered 18 hours later. But on October 12, 1998, Matthew Shepard passed away from the injuries he sustained. 5 days later, at his funeral on October 17th, protesters from a church, and I use that word very skeptically, in Kansas, pastored by a man named Fred Phelps, the Westboro Baptist Church, attended his funeral with signs of hatred, claiming that he deserved his fate because he was gay, and traumatizing his friends and family members. But one friend learned that this was going to happen, and so he gathered together some other friends and students, and they formed a barrier. They attended the funeral wearing white robes and enormous wings, 8 to 10 feet in span and in height. And these angels stood between the family and the protesters, shielding them from sight and shielding some of the noise and the chanting that the protesters were bringing, and bringing a measure of peace in a time of grieving. They were college students. They were not led by any particular pastor or any particular church affiliation. They were a group of people who decided to do the right thing in a moment of tremendous pain. That was the first time I remember hearing about the actions that the Westboro Baptist Church are now famous for, and we've received some of their attention here in Montpelier from time to time, and so we know the kind of negativity is too soft a word, the kind of poison and vileness of which they're capable. One favorite activity of the Westboro Baptist Church seems to be to protest at the funerals of men and women in the armed services who have died in service, claiming that that is God's judgment upon our nation, and holding up signs that say things like, "Thank God for dead soldiers," and chanting. Enter the Patriot Guard riders. There's a couple of pictures of them. These are a group, an international group of motorcyclists with chapters all over the country. The Patriot Guard riders look exactly like you'd expect for motorcyclists. The men have big, bushy beards. Everybody's got tattoos. There's a whole lot of denim and leather going on. And they ride big, loud bikes, usually Harleys if they can manage it. The Patriot Guard riders will attend any funeral at the request of the family and friends when they know that there's going to be a protest by the Westboro Baptist Church or others. If there are others who would do such things, I don't know. And they'll bring their loud motorcycles, and they'll rev them and make lots of noise, and they'll bring enormous American flags and wave them and make lots of visual distraction, and they will place their bikes and their bodies and their flags and their noise between the families and those who are grieving and the protesters so that they can be neither seen nor heard. There is I have heard a church that is made up almost entirely of Patriot Guard riders and worship together and see that as a sacred duty. But by and large, the Patriot Guard riders are, again, not a church community, not a religious body, but a body of people who don't look like we might imagine the servants of Christ to look necessarily, but who have taken and continue to take one of the most Christ-like actions that we can think of. One disciple came to Jesus and said, "We saw somebody casting out demons. We saw somebody healing. We saw somebody doing ministry, claiming to be in your name, but they weren't one of us. They weren't one of the 12 disciples. They weren't one of the people that you had sent out. And so we told them to stop. We told them to stop because, you know, they've got to be licensed and certified by us in order to do good ministry. We're very particular about these things in our denominations these days. They have to have jumped through our hoops. They have to have our seal of approval in order to do good, solid ministry in your name. And so we told them to knock that off, this person we found doing ministry. This person we found apparently doing successful ministry in your name." And Jesus says, "Oh, no, no. It's not about whether or not someone's one of us, as if us is this thing that we control. It's not about whether or not someone's on the in crowd or you think that they've been approved by me or by anybody else. It's not about what they look like or whether they're sanctioned by a particular body or whether there's a leader among them who has the title pastor. It's not about whether they come to their event in their Sunday best or in their ripped denim and their leather vests. If they are doing good in my name, they're with us. Anyone who is doing good in my name is one of us. Because you can't do good in my name," Christ says, "and then turn around and say something bad about me or bad about my people." And so if someone offers you a cup of water, if someone offers to do ministry to you, someone you don't know, someone who doesn't seem to be part of your crowd, someone offers you ministry, you are to receive it. You are to be hospitable and welcoming of that gift for the gift that it is. Because anyone who is doing good in my name is part of my body. World Communion Sunday is a day when we celebrate our connection with all who are doing ministry in Christ's name, with all who are giving glasses of water or aid to the poor or love to one another. We celebrate our unity despite our different denominations and sects. We celebrate, in some ways, even October is a month that is typically used to celebrate interfaith connections and to recognize the mission and justice and service of the holy, however we understand the holy, and of humanity, regardless of our divisions and our differences. Now, I have to say that there is, for me, a caveat or a struggle, at least, if not a caution, then maybe it's a struggle. And that is, when I go back to these stories, when I go back to these stories of Matthew Shepard's funeral, of the funerals of servicemen and women, and the protests perpetrated there by people who are claiming to do so in Christ's name, that I have a hard time seeing that as an opportunity to reflect upon Christian unity. I'm not going to be so bold as to claim that the people affiliated with Westboro Baptist Church are not Christian or not a church. They have that designation by the federal government, so I suppose that makes them such, if that's the way they want to look at it. They would identify themselves as followers of Christ. Imitators of Christ is what the term Christian means. I don't know if they read the same book I did. Often I think not. But it is not my place to say that they are not one of us. But I've yet to see a member of that organization offer a glass of water, a word of comfort, a ministry of hope and healing, resurrection and grace. That remains between them and God, however they might understand God. And so I hope that I am not being judgmental of them based on their appearance, but I know I am being judgmental based upon their actions when I say that that to me does not look like someone doing ministry in Christ's name, someone casting out evil in Christ's name. It does not look like that to me. It does not look like someone offering grace and healing and forgiveness. Quite the contrary. But those angels, those college students with cardboard wings covered in white fabric, those bikers with their loud machines and their flapping American flags, drowning out the jeers of the protesters, those folks look to me like people who are doing ministry, whether or not they use Christ's name. Those folks look to me like those who are with us, who are offering cups of water and words of hope and healing and love and grace in the midst of the worst humanity has to offer. And so, they may not look like those who have been licensed and certified and approved and stamped with any denominational ministry. Oh, the horrors. But they look for all the world to me like those who are giving cups of water, yes, even to you and I, through their actions. And I believe we're called to receive that ministry and to share it and give thanks for it. So this World Communion Sunday, when we break bread together, yes, we break bread with other United Methodists around the world, people who probably look very much like us, who have come to a church on a Sunday morning in their Sunday best, perhaps, or in their jeans and their work boots. People who have sung hymns that we have sung and that we would recognize. But we also break bread together with people who are from other denominations, who have entered different church buildings today, who have worn perhaps different traditional clothing, who worship perhaps in a different language, who sing songs and hymns that we might not recognize at all. We break bread with them and we are in communion with them. And this morning as we celebrate World Communion Sunday, we break bread with missionaries around the world and with the people with whom they are in mission and ministry who have no bread to share, who have no church building to worship in, who have no money to give to the offering or to their neighbors in need. We break bread and we are in communion with them. And this World Communion Sunday, as we gather together and break bread, we break bread with college students who know how to act with love and kindness when a friend has been shown the most violent horror that the human heart can hold. And we break bread with bikers, with their tattoos and their leather vests and their big bushy beards and their loud engines, who know how to offer from what they have a gift of peace and of love and of compassion to a family in grief. Indeed, this morning when we break bread together, we break bread as a communion, as a community, as the body of Christ that is so vast, so different, so diverse, that it is not for us to say who is part of it. I pray that I may one day understand that I break bread with the members of the Westboro Baptist Church, but that's going to take a transformation of somebody's hearts, mine or theirs, or most likely both. But I pray that we might one day understand that all who offer the ministry of love and compassion and service and kindness offer it together as God's children. And that all who break bread and proclaim Christ's presence with us proclaim it for the world. This day, as we break bread, we break it with those we would not recognize, we might not welcome, we might not see as one of us. But Christ invites us to receive their ministry, to receive their gifts, to honor and celebrate and lift up what they have to give, a gift that God has given them, a gift to the world. And so we are in communion with one another, with God, with all who offer cups of water and words of hope and healing, all who minister in God's love. All are seated, gathered at that table as we share this feast in love together. Amen.